my name's Teresa, and I'm an alcoholic.
Teresa.
Wow, there's so many people here. Thanks, Mark, for asking me to come out tonight. I appreciate it. You know, I'm a little nervous, so please forgive me. But what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. What it was like was, you know, grew up thinking that I was always less than, always feeling like I was never good enough for anyone. Parents divorced when I was a young age. Dad got a new family. They became his priority. My mom worked all the time, was never home. So me and my sister basically raised ourselves. We never felt like, I never felt like I was wanted. And then, you know, when I was in high school, I would go to, I always wanted to be popular. I always wanted to be that person that everybody liked. And I was so shy and in my shell that it was hard for me to come out of that. And then when I was introduced into alcohol, ooh, I had arrived. You know, I could break out of that shell. I could break out of who I was, and I could become somebody else. And so it was real easy to pretend that I was somebody else. When I became a mother at a very young age, I was only 19 when I became a mother. And so that was a struggle because that was when I wanted to go out and party. And so my sister took my baby all the time. My sister had my daughter all the time because I was working full-time, going to school full-time, partying full-time. And, you know, I know that until my daughter was about four, if it wasn't for my sister, I don't know where I would have been because, you know, my parents got tired of me going, oh, I need to go. And then I got married really young. I got married at 22, and I got married to my husband. I've been thankfully married for 30 years, but, you know, in the beginning it was difficult because he was in the military, so he was gone all the time. Then we had another baby, and so I was a young mom by myself a lot because my husband was in the military, and I started to, 1 year he was gone for a whole year. He went to Korea, and that year I was in my early 20s, and you know, I discovered alcohol again because I had stopped for a while, was good, and then when I discovered alcohol again, I was like 24, 25, and I thought I drank a lot while he was gone because he was over in Korea drinking, so I was at home drinking with my babies and not being a very good mother. But I always thought to myself, ooh, I better be careful. I'm going to become an alcoholic. I always thought, I better watch it. I'm going to become an alcoholic. So when my husband came back from Korea, I didn't drink for like 5 years. I just stopped cold turkey, didn't really drink anything. And then when I hit my 30s, we moved back to California after my husband getting out of the military. I moved onto a street. I still live on that street. I've been there for 21 years, but moved onto a street that was a party street. And it was a party street. I mean, I don't care if it was Monday, if it was Halloween, if it was Christmas, if it was a Saturday, we were drinking and we were partying all the time. I did things that I would never do, skinny dipping in my neighbor's pool, in the middle of the street, losing my shoe, being drunk, singing in the rain. And what's bad is my kids remember me doing these things. And I'm so embarrassed now. Back then, you know, oh, ha-ha, you know, mom is drunk again. And, you know, it was fun and games. Now I'm embarrassed when they bring those stories up. But again, I did that. Ooh, I better be careful. I'm going to become an alcoholic. Well, the binges kept getting closer together, closer and closer and closer and closer. Because, you know, before it was just, you know, a sporadic Friday or a sporadic Saturday. And then it was every weekend and, you know, waking up on the bathroom floor butt naked, drunk, sick, hungover. My husband just leaving me there, saying, "Well, you did this to yourself. You know who? You know I'm not here to pick you up or babysit you. You're a grown ass woman." And you know, it was very difficult. And the hangovers just got more and more and more, because the drinking went from 2 drinks to 3 drinks to 8 drinks to a whole bottle. And then in 2009, I had gastric bypass. Well, when you have gastric bypass, you lose your stomach. And what that causes is what used to take 7 or 8 drinks happens in 2 to 3 to 4 drinks. And so, and you either drink or you eat, you know, because you don't have room for both. And so when when you're drinking all of your meals, you know, you go out to dinner with your family and, "Oh, I'm just going to have one cocktail." Well, 2 cocktails leads to 3, leads to being drunk again, sick, on the bathroom floor, butt-ass naked, being left there until the morning. You know, it was. I didn't know then what I was doing, but at some point, 2009, 2010, I passed that imaginary line where drinking was no longer here and there. It was like every weekend, every weekend, every weekend, every weekend. And, you know, and then it wasn't, you know, it was always until I passed out, always until I passed out. And then I had 10 arm, hands and arm surgeries. And so I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but prescription pain pills became part of my story too. And I got addicted to those along with the drinking. And, you know, I thought it was okay because the doctor prescribed them. You know, I always thought it was okay because the doctor gave them to me. So it's the doctor, it's my medicine. The doctor gave it to me, you know. But when you're taking not 4 a day, 1 every 6 hours, you're taking 16 a day, you know, there's a problem. And I had no stomach. And so everything was exasperated because everything went right into my system. And so in 2015, I went into, my sister is my best friend. And my sister called me one day and said, "I'm tired of watching you kill yourself." And she said, "I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to help you out anymore. I'm done." And that devastated me because, you know, she's like, "You're killing yourself. You're killing your family. Your kids don't want to talk to you. Your husband doesn't want to talk to you. You know, you're not a daughter. You're not a sister. You're not a friend. You know, all of these things." Okay, I'll get sober real quick. And then, you know, so I called my parents and asked for help. And what they helped me with is they sent me to treatment. And I'm so thankful that they did. I'm thankful that I got that phone call that woke me up to ask for help to send me to treatment. And I always say this, and I know people have heard me say it before, treatment got me physically sober, but AA is what keeps me sober. If I didn't get introduced to the AA program while I was in treatment, I wouldn't be here. You know, going through the steps changed my life. I know a lot of people say that, but I got to know who I am and why I did always what I did. And, you know, that right now we're in month 9, so if you read the daily reflections, you know, they're talking about making your amends. And the best lesson I ever learned was making that daily amends by making a change in my life, not by saying I'm sorry once again, not by saying I won't do that anymore, but by making those living amends every day. And by one of those things is by choosing every day to stay sober, because I have money, I have a car, I could go buy whatever I want whenever I want. You know, I can go to the liquor store, Costco delivers on Instacart, you know, whatever. I can get whatever I want. And I make that choice every day not to pick up. And I'm grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous for what it's done, for all the people that I've met. I know so many people in this room. It's amazing. I was very nervous when I came here tonight. And thanks for making me not so nervous. And thanks for being my family. I appreciate it.